Hi, my name is Liz Romney, and I'm obsessed with understanding what true happiness really means, while still embracing life's ups and downs, especially during the downs. I'm a mama of three and a cancer fighter, making sure that my sweet family still enjoys life. Happiness was never meant to be only felt when things go right. Happiness is so much more than that. Through heartfelt conversations, you will discover how to commit to intentional joy no matter what's going on in your life. So make sure you have your favorite drink because we don't shy away from any topic. Welcome to Happy by Design, Happiness Among the Chaos. Welcome back, my dear friend. The last few episodes have been so meaty, and this one I wanted to be more light and fun. So you and I are going to talk about three principles you need to adopt to help your mind be happier. If your mind is happy, you'll be happy, of course. Happiness comes from the mind and the heart, and we need to find ways to connect these two, and what I'm going to share today is going to do exactly that. So let's dive in. Principle number one, focus on what you can control. When you have a chronic illness, you lose a lot of control in many aspects of your life. And the loss of this control makes you feel lost and sometimes even useless, lazy, and even guilty. Been there. I have been there. How many times have you experienced that you have a lot of things to do, that you planned that you were going to do, but your body just can't? Your energy is low, or you have some symptoms or side effects and you just can't. So you stay in bed and feel bad because you have things to do. And to make it worse, you probably scroll for hours on Instagram or mindlessly watch TV. Or maybe you used to like to move your body. Maybe you like to dance or run or work out or do yoga or whatever, right? But again, your energy and your symptoms and side effects don't allow you to do those things anymore. Or maybe you are a stay-at-home mom like me and you're the one in charge of cleaning the house and sometimes you can't. These scenarios and many, many more are examples of how we lose control in our lives when we have chronic health challenges. We feel like we aren't in charge of our lives anymore. The ones in charge of our lives are our health challenges. But the problem with this is, and the reason why we feel like this is because we're focusing on what we cannot control anymore. Instead, for a happier life and happier mind, we should focus on what we can control. There's always something we can do. Our problem is that we think in absolute. Either I can do all the things I plan to do, or I can't, and this sucks. Or either I can work out like I used to, or I can't, and this sucks. Or I can either clean my entire home top to bottom and have a spotless home, or I can't, and this sucks. But when we focus on what we can control, we recover our power. Let me give you an example. A week ago, I had a very bad week. I couldn't get out of my bed in the mornings, and I couldn't do anything. Of course, I was starting to feel bad because I wanted to do the things I wanted to do. And of course, since I was starting to feel bad, I started scrolling on Instagram and just numbing myself. But I remember this principle and I asked myself, I cannot do all the things I want to do, but what can I do? What could my body and my mind handle at this moment? And I realized I could read a book. So I chose to read a book. The fact that I asked myself, what can I do, and made a choice based on what I could handle gave me control. I didn't read a book because there wasn't anything else to do. That was scroll on Instagram. That was the only option, right? But I read a book because I took a proactive action and looked at where I was and what I could give, and I gave it. I could have easily said, nah, I don't want to read. This sucks. I just want to stay here and feel sorry for myself. If my body would have said all I can do is sleep and I chose to sleep, I recover my power and control. The whole point of this principle is for you to train your mind that you get to have the power and decide what is best for you. Not your energy levels, not your symptoms, not your side effects. You. Of course, these are factors that determine your options, but they're options. And as you start using and choosing these options, it's going to get better. Let me give you another example. Around the third month of my treatment, I was sick and tired of being in bed all the time with no energy. So I asked in my support group, what could I do to fight the fatigue? And someone said, believe it or not, work out. Move your body. And I was like, that doesn't make sense at all. I don't have the energy to move. I need energy to be able to move. And then this person said to me, just trust me, go for it. So I decided to go for it. I knew I couldn't go and work out like I used to. So my husband and I made a plan that every night he was going to go for a walk with me to help me. The first few weeks, I'm not kidding, this man dragged me. At the beginning, we walked one block and then a little bit more and then more and then more and then more. And now to this day, I walk 10K steps every day. Why? Because instead of focusing on what I couldn't do, I focus on what I could. Instead of feeling sorry for myself and declaring that I am so fatigued and this is probably how my life is going to be, I made the choice and took control and asked for advice, and I adopted the advice to a situation. So if you want to be happier and train your mind to be happier, look into your life and find an area where you feel you don't have control and ask, what can I do? And then go get that control and that power back by doing what you answer. What can I do? Just go and do that answer. Find a way to do it. Okay, now principle number two. Realize you're unique and stop comparing yourself to others. There's this problem in our community of people with health chronic challenges. I'm going to give you some tough love right now. Know that I gave myself this tough love and realize that what I'm going to share with you was tough, but so necessary for my happiness. As a community, we enjoy feeling sorry for ourselves. I know, it sounds harsh and horrible, but it is true. We have such a hard situation, and feeling sorry for ourselves gives us the excuse of not having to try because we have a crappy situation. And if there's an excuse that is good enough to stop us from trying, it's our health challenges. And one way we use the whole feeling sorry for ourselves is by comparing ourselves to our peers, by pointing out to ourselves that we cannot do the things our peers can do, that our friends can do, that we cannot go party like they do, that we cannot go on social events like they do, that we cannot play with our kids like they do, or be sexy and feminine like they do, go out often with our spouses like they do, or go shopping like they do. You get it. And we need to stop doing this to ourselves. It's so funny how we define ourselves based on if we can do what others can do. And that's not it. Even if you are not sick, as humans, we tend to do that, but it's BS. You want to be happy. Stop comparing yourself and go back to principle number one. When you start looking at your life with the eyes of what can I do right now, you no longer care about what others are doing because you're relying completely on your own gifts, capabilities, and skills. And that gives you a boost of self-esteem that I cannot even explain to you. It feels so good, as long as you don't compare yourselves to your peers. Let your peers do what they do and be who they are and focus on discovering who you are and what you can do. If you truly let go of how much it sucks that you cannot do what your friends are doing and focus on discovering your own abilities, you're going to discover a whole new side of yourself, and that side is so fascinating. Now, principle number three. There are two types of people in our community. Those that have a loving and supporting family and friends that are there for them, and those that don't. And I am so sorry if you are in the latter. But either you are in the former or the latter, or even in between, you have to be your own cheerleader. Because the truth is that no one in your family and friends will ever fully understand your situation and how you feel unless you're experiencing something similar. And because they will probably never understand how you feel and how you think, they will not understand how big a deal it is, the small wins, the small tries, or the defeats in our journey. My husband couldn't understand how proud I felt when I was able to walk that one block. After 3 months of not moving my body in bed, I walked a whole block. I felt like I was on the top of the world. And you have to make sure you are celebrating all these small wins. You're having a bad day, but you were able to unload the dishwasher. Celebrate that. You were able to go out and hang out with your friends for an hour. Go celebrate that. They reduced your medication by half. Go celebrate that. Celebrate yourself in all that you do. Celebrate and recognize that you're making an effort to live your life, that you're making an effort to learn how to thrive with your chronic health challenges. When you live your life based on these three principles, you're going to become happier, more powerful, and more fulfilled. Because really, why leave happiness to chance when you can design it yourself? Well, my friend, I'll see you in the next episode.